You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've got two old mates of the show on the line right now. Kia ora, Disciple Putty and Polly Hill. How are you both?
I'm good, thank you. That's from me.
Hey.
Miss Disciple Putty.
How are you doing out there, Polly Hill?
I'm good. I'm thriving. I'm drinking my coffee. Sun's shining. Can't complain.
I'm excited to have you both here for a chat this morning because you've got a wonderful song out today, Putty, featuring Polly Hill. And it's a pretty special one. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Bow Wow Challenge?
Yeah, definitely. So this song is a bit of a hard left from, I guess, the stuff that I've been putting out recently. It's a bit more of an ethereal track. It's very introspective and reflective, I guess, about, my career so far. My three songs so far. It's kind of just about, like, I struggle a lot with, I guess, imposter syndrome in, like, every facet of my life. And so it talks a little bit about that. And, it was actually one of the first songs that I ever wrote, really. And so it's crazy that it's out now because I never thought I was going to release it. But it's here. And, I did a gig with Miss Paloma, Miss Polly Hill, Summer Fruits gig, like, last year. And obviously I heard some of her music and I just felt like she was the perfect feature for this track. I just knew that she would treat it with the respect that the track deserves and that she would, you know, understand the content of the song. So, yeah.
It is a really introspective song, and I'm kind of interested in what you were saying online when you were talking about releasing this track, Putty, that it wasn't a song you necessarily thought you would ever release because it has got this kind of vulnerability to it that I think a lot of people feel, even if you're not a musician, even if you're not a music maker. Imposter syndrome is a massive thing, especially for women and non-binary folks and trans folks working in any creative space. I kind of wondered what made you feel like you could put this out now.
Yeah, so I did this show. I did this theatre show. It was called Fala Mancha. And I guess up until this point, my relationship with audiences had been quite... it had been really, like, give and take. It had been a bit about, like... numbers, and I guess it'd been about, like, the impact had been in things that weren't really about connection. Mm-hmm. So they're about, like, you know, how many hits you get, how many numbers you can rack up on streaming services, and I guess the effect of the music had been in people's own, like, bubbles, and I'd never really got into experience firsthand, besides, like, you know, like, comments from shows, how much the music really truly affected them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this show, it was called Fala Mancha, and it was that was very vulnerable. And it was basically just like it just talked about my experience coming out and all this kind of stuff. But I realized how much music and art and poetry kind of becomes a part of the person's world and the person's own experience. And you know, people were coming up to me afterwards and talking to me in, like, depth about the performance and how that, you know, how they resonated and in such a different way than the comments that I've been getting. And so I realized that, like, because that took a lot of courage, I guess, on my part for me to be vulnerable enough to put it out there. And I just realized that, you know, connection comes from putting the most vulnerable parts of yourself out on a platter.
Mm-hmm.
And it is scary as hell to to, like, say, you know, to have something that's so close to you out and into the world for, like, people to see.
Mm.
But I guess that theatre show gave me such a it gave me a lot of bravery to just be like, yeah. Well, you know, this is the only way people are really going to be able to connect with what I have to say. And so I was just like, okay, well, it's time for this to just be out there. And I would rather focus on that type of connection and that type of relationship with my audience than mm-hmm. one that is just solely about, like, numbers, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, that's kind of the reason why I felt a bit braver to do that now. Did that even make any sense?
That made total sense. And I think that's something pretty amazing as well about getting to work closely with artists who can help you feel like you have a place or a platform to share where your vulnerabilities are going to be protected as well by having a crew with you. Paloma,
yeah, exactly.
I wanted to ask you in at this point, how did you feel about being asked onto this track? Because there's kind of a conversation going on there between you two as lyricists and also as musicians working in this space, kind of not dissimilar to, I guess, being on a stage and performing in the theatre and having that crew behind you. Having people on a track, feature on a track or collaborate on a track has kind of got that in a sonic sense. How did you feel about being involved in this one, Paloma?
I was really, like, it felt really divine kind of timing and like, because, yeah, as Patti was saying, she played that show that I threw, and that was actually the first time I heard her perform live, and I remember very vividly the moment she performed that song, and I was just like, fuck, what is that? Mm. Like, you know sometimes when you hear something and it has a very, like, visceral response in your body, like, you kind of resonate with it on a higher level, and I was kind of like quite moved. And then a while later she talked about doing a feature on a track, and I didn't know which track it was, and then when I heard the beat come in the demo she sent, I was like, yes, this is it. And then that's where I got to actually really listen to the lyrics again and just hear it properly and respond to it, and all of that was resonating with me, all of that stuff of like, you know, I still don't know if I'm like a huge like joke or if, you know, like just imposter syndrome, I guess. I felt, I don't know, there was kind of a weird power in being able to talk to that with, you know, another female artist and be vulnerable but be powerful at the same time, it felt like. I was really stoked to be on it, and I think it's a beautiful song.
It is a beautiful song, and both your parts on this track complement each other so well, but also speak to your individual experiences, because I think that's something that we sometimes see, especially with women or people of gender minorities performing in music spaces, is everyone wants one narrative. You know, you want one narrative about imposter syndrome, or you want one narrative about the experience of being an artist working in that space. In conversations you have with your friends or your collaborators, like, do you guys talk about this often with your peers?
All the time.
About it all the time. Paloma?
Yeah, I do, because we're all in the similar boat, like, all my mates are artists, essentially, and we're all like, are we the best thing in the world, or are we losers? I don't know. Still unsure.
Yeah. I don't know. I've talked about it with, like, maybe a couple of other people, but I think I used to be so scared to say anything about this. You know, like, I don't know. I just worried that, like, if I said something, then people who weren't thinking that would begin to think that. And then I was like, no, I can't say. So I'm so happy that I can, you know, have the opportunity now to just be like, it's how I feel, man. Like, yeah. It's not a big deal. It is what it is. That's kind of empowering to hear that you guys talk about it heaps, Miss Polly Hill.
I don't know if it's a good thing. I mean, it's like, I don't know, defense mechanism, right? Like, if you kind of reveal your flaws or your vulnerabilities or whatever before anyone else can, you think, like, you have a one-up, but actually, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's also like fake it till you make it, you know. If you're telling people you're the shit, then they could very well believe that you're the shit, you know.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think that, you know, for a listener, which I'm classing myself as very much here, hearing, you know, people who you admire as musicians talking about that, though, is quite empowering in its own way too, because I think a lot of people resonate with these ideas, and hearing, you know, young women get up and like basically confront that is very empowering, and you never know who it's going to reach. So I'm kind of interested in what you were saying earlier, Pati, about having in a theatre space that really direct relationship with an audience who can jump in and tell you straight after the show how it made them feel, whereas in a music space, maybe sometimes that doesn't happen so much because we're too busy going to the next act or moving to the next stage, or it's a festival or whatever it is, you know, we move quite quickly through that space. Is it something you'd like to see a little bit more of, maybe in music communities?
Yeah, I think part of it is also theatre gives time and space to these concepts to kind of thrive. Like there's definitely room for you to kind of dwell on one particular concept for a longer period of time. Whereas with shows, I think it's about the set list and it's about the song, and the only real time for you to delve into those concepts is if you're discussing the body of work in between the music.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess that's something that I've been trying to delve into a bit more as well, is how can I use shows and gigs and make it a bit more of a performance that can discuss those things. That's something that I've been experimenting with at the moment, like with the way that the show runs, with how it looks to an audience, and like just how to make that connection a bit more a bit stronger, because I know that with my own shows it has been very, very that, like, I need to get the set to 30 minutes, and so I'm just going to put this song in and you know, and there's no like real for me anyway, like just being a bit more intentional about what I'm performing and why I'm performing it, and what I hope the audience will take away from it, as opposed to just like in the past, I think my goal has been to just give a really, really good live performance and a good time for everyone, whereas now I think people know that I can give that, and so it's time for me to just like take the performance in a different direction.
Well, I think it's time for us to listen to this song that we've been talking about. I think it's going to mean a lot to a lot of people. It's a really beautiful track. Disciple Pati and Polly Hill, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. I hope you're both doing well in your bubbles out there.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you IRL soon, and hopefully at a show also. We're looking forward to getting back out there. But in the meantime, I think we should listen to this beautiful track, Bow Wow Challenge by Disciple Pati featuring Polly Hill. Thank you both so much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you
for having us.
feel grounded. I get no solace no more from the praises that sounded. See, I feel surrounded by mountains of doubt that I mount like the debt that I drown in. And I am dumbfounded, cause I feel this grief that's undue while I'm speaking my truth like there's no way around it. But if I'm just madder, then what does it matter at all? The claims that I make or the shapes that I form, if the battle was won but the war left me warm. But I'll reach my final form and defy these norms like riders on a storm. Come home with the wind. While I'm gone, I atone for my sins. Look, when I reach my final form and defy these norms like riders on a storm, the doors will come down. Smile on my face like, how you like me now?
Don't know.
Outside your window? Are they hiding in the dark hallway? Or maybe in the light switch? Mine don't hide there. Mine hide in other places. Mine hide in the numbers on my weight scales. And behind the mirror in my bathroom sometimes, they hide in the cracks on my shattered phone and whisper to me in between pictures of girls screaming sermons about loving yourself and ads for flat tummy tea. I see my monsters in the fridge. Right there, on top of the ice cream container, next to the probiotic yogurt. Other times they hide underneath my skin, in the roughness of my eczema, the plumpness of my stomach, the creases in my face, the shortness of my hair, the dryness of my lips, the redness of my pimples. They hide in the paleness of my skin, the wideness of my shoulders, the bitchiness of my tone. Sometimes my monsters lurk in the folds of my sheets and hold me hostage in my own bed. They tell me it is safe here. Why would we ever want to leave? I used to blame my monsters. Until one day.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.